Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Fang Kue et al. Titled, Sympathetic Neural Reactivity to Mental Stress in Offspring of Hypertensive Parents, 20 Years Revisited. This article published July 1st, 2016. Joining me today are consulting editor Nisha Charkoudian, lead author Jason Carter, and content expert Megan Wenner. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. The sympathetic nervous system has a major role in the regulation of blood pressure in humans. Over the past 15 years, the importance of inter-individual variability in sympathetic nervous system activity in determining individualized patterns and responses in blood pressure regulation has become increasingly apparent. Two important ongoing questions in this field are the extent to which family history of hypertension contributes to sympathetic neural control of blood pressure, and how acute responses to mental stress fit into the big picture of blood pressure regulation. Today, we will be discussing a recent study from Jason Carter's laboratory in which he and his colleagues evaluated these questions in a large group of human subjects with and without family histories of hypertension. Jason, could you start by summarizing your study and results for us?
Thanks, Nisha. So in order to appreciate the findings of the present work, I thought it might be useful to take a moment and frame a little of the history that led to this study. As you know, our laboratory examines muscle sympathetic nerve activity using the technique of microneurography, and this allows for direct recordings of postganglionic sympathetic nerve activity to the muscle, which we commonly refer to, and I'll refer to in this podcast, as MSNA. For a number of years now, our laboratory has been interested in MSNA responsiveness to a variety of laboratory stressors, but most commonly, mental stress elicited using mental arithmetic. And since the first MSNA studies of mental stress performed by Gunnar Wallin in the early 1970s, there's always been a very marked inter-individual variability in MSNA responsiveness to mental stress. Moreover, back in 2009, and ironically enough, in another AJP Heart paper, we retrospectively examined MSNA and mental stress studies from our lab and demonstrated that in a large cohort, BP and MSNA responses to mental stress were not at all correlated to one another. And this suggested to us some dissociation between the two physiological signals. So in the present study, we examined MSNA responsiveness to mental stress in a large and generalizable cohort of young men and women and accounted for their family history of hypertension. In 1996, an interesting study by George Knoll and colleagues reported on this general topic in a cohort of 18 medical students, 10 that had and 10 that did not have a family history of hypertension, and found that both blood pressure and MSNA reactivity to mental stress were significantly augmented in the subjects with family history of hypertension. However, given recent work that has shown the greater than normal inter-individual variability of this MSNA responsiveness to mental stress, I guess I always had some doubt if these original findings could be reproduced. But lo and behold, in the present work, we did reproduce these MSNA findings by demonstrating a significantly greater MSNA reactivity in 16 subjects with a family history of hypertension when we compared them to 33 subjects without a family history of hypertension. Now, keep in mind that whereas there was presumably some targeted recruitment in the original Knoll study, we just let the chips fall where they would and kept obtaining family history of hypertension data over the past 5 to 6 years through surveys. And it turned out that our pool of final subjects matched very well with the AHA statistics that come out each year, highlighting that about 1 in 3 U.S. adults have hypertension. So we feel very good about that and the generalizability of this data. Now, while the MSNA findings were similar to Knoll, we did not observe a significantly greater BP reactivity to mental stress. This was actually not a lot surprising to us, and we can talk a little bit more about that later, because a number of recent studies have been showing a dissociation between MSNA and blood pressure reactivity when it comes to mental stress.
So thank you, Jason. What is the relevance, in your opinion, of the variability in responsiveness to mental stress in terms of blood pressure regulation in general?
Well, I think it's important to understand that the psychological field has been interested in the cardiovascular reactivity for many, many years, much more so than maybe even the physiology field has been. There have been a number of studies supporting the so-called cardiovascular reactivity hypothesis, which puts forth the concept that by examining blood pressure and/or heart rate responsiveness to acute laboratory challenges, and particularly mental stress, that this provides some window of insight or predictability into the future risk of high blood pressure.
Now, as we know, BP control is very complex, and responsiveness to even acute challenges such as mental stress are clearly in response to multiple factors. And for a long time, I think we assumed that MSNA reactivity was a major driver in this BP reactivity, and it could still be playing a very central role that we need to continue to elucidate, but it certainly does not seem to be obligatory. So we now have two studies, both showing that MSNA reactivity to mental stress was significantly associated with family history of hypertension. By no means should we infer cause and effect, but it is certainly of clinical interest. And there may be some advantages to looking at MSNA reactivity instead of simply non-invasive BP and heart rate reactivity measurements. We're beginning to put forward a concept of a sympathetic reactivity hypothesis, and that this can encompass work from not only our lab, but other labs such as Megan, who reported recently a greater MSNA responsiveness during other stressors, particularly a cold pressor test and exercise, in individuals that have a family history of hypertension.
Great. Thank you very much, Jason. As you say, regulation of blood pressure is a complex and multifactorial phenomenon. Megan, based on your experiences, and as Jason mentioned, your recent work in studying the autonomic nervous system control of cardiovascular function, could you provide some additional insight about the results of this study in a big picture context as you see it?
Thanks, Nisha. First, I just want to commend Jason on the work that he's done in this area and on a really nice manuscript. It's well known that having a family history of hypertension increases a person's risk of developing hypertension later in life, but the mechanisms involved are still unclear. It's also known that a heightened or overactive sympathetic nervous system is a major contributing factor or a major player in the development of hypertension. So the findings from the current study indicate that the sympathetic nervous system may play an important role in the future development of hypertension in those with a familial predisposition.
Great. Thank you, Megan. Jason, there's been a lot of interest in recent years in sex differences in sympathetic neural and hemodynamic responses and how these relate to blood pressure regulation, both short-term and long-term. We know that women before the age of menopause have a lower risk of high blood pressure, for example, compared to men. I noticed that you did not find differences between men and women in this relatively large group. Could you tell us some of your thoughts on this issue?
Certainly. In this particular study, we weren't powered to examine the role of sex, but this is another area our laboratory and many others, including work that you've done in the past, Nisha, has been very much of interest to us. In that original 2009 AJP Heart article that was the retrospective study looking at this previously, we did indeed find a difference between men and women when it came to BP responsiveness in that cohort, but did not see it with the MSNA responsiveness, again, suggesting that men and women may have a differential control mechanisms when it comes to their MSNA reactivity as well as their BP reactivity, and that there can sometimes be dissociation between those two things. Moreover, we have a pretty young group of men and women in this current study, and we know that while women seem to be somewhat cardioprotected early in their life, as you've mentioned, after menopause, there is a much higher prevalence and risk for hypertension, and that rise in risk is dramatic, especially once they get into their sixth and seventh decades of life. So we remain very interested in factors like this. And one of the things that we have begun to collect through this study and we're going to continue to collect is what impact does potentially maternal versus paternal family history of hypertension or having both maternal and paternal family history of hypertension infer when it comes to the difference in risk factors and how does that translate to some of the neural and cardiovascular reactivity? Certainly lots and lots of remaining unanswered questions as we try to tease out the potential relations between the sympathetic reactivity, mental stress, family history of hypertension, and incident hypertension.
Megan, could you tell us a little bit more about your perspective on the present data in terms of sex differences in blood pressure regulation based on your own work in this area?
Thanks, Nisha. As we've mentioned, there's many factors contributing to inter-individual variability when studying sympathetic control blood pressure, such as age or sex. And in this current study by Jason's lab, really suggests that a family history of hypertension is definitely another factor to be considered. And as Jason mentioned, there can be large inter-individual variability in MSNA responsiveness to mental stress. So to see such robust differences in these two distinct groups is really important. As he mentioned, they were not powered to examine sex differences in the current data set. And it would be interesting, I think, in the future to see if there are sex differences in sympathetic control of blood pressure in those with a family history of hypertension. And just to add a little bit to that, our lab has recently examined this, just focusing in women, and have demonstrated a heightened sympathetic reactivity in young women with a family history of hypertension using a cold pressor test or hand grip exercise. And so I think it is important to see how these studies can translate to the future and whether these women have an increased risk of developing preeclampsia or hypertension during pregnancy. And then also, does that contribute later in life to their higher prevalence of developing hypertension after menopause?
I want to thank both of you for your helpful and important insights into this topic. And I wanted to ask each of you if you have anything else to add for our podcast today.
Well, I think one of the things that I'm encouraged by is that I'm starting to see more and more studies where laboratories are combining data sets. And I think in this era of big data and in this era where we need to account for rigor and reproducibility, I hope we do more of that.
We need to begin working together so that whether it's looking at family history of disease or complex interactions with mental health and how that impacts our overall health and potentially the sympathetic nervous system.
Thanks, Jason. Megan, do you have any additional comments?
I just wanted to finish with saying that there is accumulating evidence of heightened MSNA reactivity in young adults with a family history of hypertension, and that this study significantly advances our understanding of the importance of the sympathetic nervous system and future hypertension risk.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Jason Carter and Megan Wenner for joining us for this AJP Heart podcast today.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.